Hi, I'm Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 217 on September 18th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my passionate efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER, if you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you and your partner. I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Hey everybody, how's it going? Let's do a patron update.
Yes.
Three new patrons, actually two new ones and one who increased their pledge. First, Eric pledged $1 a month. Eric, thank you so much for being a patron and for supporting my work. I really appreciate it. Kevin is now a patron at $5 a month. Kevin, that's awesome. Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate your generosity. And Johannes increased his pledge from $1 a month to $2 a month. Awesome. Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it, everybody. I also received a one-time donation from Sarah of $3. Woohoo! Thank you all. This all counts. It all matters. And it just warms my heart that you guys believe in me enough and that you're grateful for what I put out there in the world. Sometimes my one-time donations are now coming from my webinars because although everybody can get in free if they want to, afterwards, I tell people these are the ways you can support me, and one of the ways is to go back and make a one-time donation through the ticketing mechanism. So I'm getting a few donations there, which is really, really helpful. Thank you all so much. It makes me feel like you value what I put out there, and I know sometimes it's tough if you're on a budget to make those donations, so every little dollar counts, believe me. Thank you. All right, let's jump into your letters. Hello, Ruby. I would like to start off with saying thank you so much for the amazing podcast. Your consistent content and professional delivery, a perfect reflection to your passion and dedication to this wonderful art of pegging. The purpose of this letter is to reach out to your listenership to give them even more ammunition against any feelings of shame or embarrassment they may feel regarding receiving pegging. First, a little bit of background. I grew up in a small Canadian community that was so closed-minded and fearful of anything that it felt like suffocation. I moved away when I was 16 in order to work in a profession that required me to travel and experience different cultures. I had a girlfriend in my hometown that loved anal play and tried a few times to use a finger while performing oral on me. I was terrified of it and ended the relationship. But that was the way it was. If someone found out I let her do that or enjoyed it, I would have been ridiculed and fighting every day at school. That community, at the time, was extremely homophobic and narrow-minded. Still is, generally. But there were islands of logic, compassion, and inclusiveness spread out amongst that town. The sport that I played for decades required me to intimidate, overpower, and physically fight opponents almost on a nightly basis, at least until my body, namely my hands from constant abuse, forced me to retire in my early 30s. So with that, I am a 6'4", 280-pound man who has fought hundreds of times, hunts, fly fishes, camps, lifts weights, blah, blah, blah. What's regrettably societally considered a manly man. My wife said she fell in love with that man and it was a huge turn-on with her. With all that being said, and this is all in caps, I fucking love getting pegged by my wife. So fellas, ladies, non-identifying or however anyone likes to be addressed, here are some of my own opinions and points on strap-on sex or pegging. Number one, nobody is defined by what they enjoy for pleasure. Number two, my pegging life with my wife is defined by the way we keep it as a private, safe, pleasurable, and honest aspect of our marriage. If you want the world to know, do so. Who the hell cares? But be warned, there are many people who are unfortunately very narrow-minded. Number three, I have never felt homosexual thoughts when I am being pegged. Seeing my wife in a harness in front of me or behind me is just sexy. As I type this, I'm getting hard and she's not even here. So by no means should you feel like this makes you any less of a man as identified by our fucked up culture. The feeling of an artificial penis sliding in and out of my anus gives me shivers. It looks and feels sexy. Number four, you are not gay if you have thoughts about a man or a transgendered person performing anal sex on you. Why worry about it? Fantasize all you want. I do. Number five, if your loved one or partner isn't into it, be respectful about their feelings. The conversation with my wife started privately when we left the kids at relatives to go watch an NHL hockey game. We were enjoying a coffee and traveling when the discussion happened like this. Honey, what kind of things did you do sexually in your athletic days? What kind of stuff did you do, want to do? If this person means anything to you, let them know. Get that information out there, and whatever will be, will be. My wife wasn't receptive at that point, but my error was in judging her silence for about 10 minutes as non-acceptance. She was just turning it over in her mind. I reassured her I wasn't gay. She actually feared that I was opening the proverbial closet door at that point. I explained, I love the feeling of the frictional heat, pressure, anal filling, visual imagery, sounds, and taboo nature of the sexual act. Later that night, she said she'd try it. She's not 100% into it, but we do it every so often because she loves me and knows I am into it. And my sixth point will explain this further. Number six, don't think her non-acceptance or lack of consistent strap-on play is about you. Since our two children were born, multiple deaths in the family, changing jobs and shift schedules, and a myriad of other life issues, she has put on over 100 pounds. I have gained some as well. She doesn't feel as sexy in her harness or even lingerie. We are both fatigued at day's end because of young children, and those young children are always cock-blocking us even if we want vanilla sex. So don't be selfish assholes. The culture of your home shouldn't revolve around your kinks. It revolves around the healthy and safe home for your entire family. Number seven, my last point is this. Since trying solo and female-to-male strap-on sex, I was into watching pegging videos long before my wife and I met and experimented a few times with play partners. I have often fantasized about having sex with a beautiful transgender person. I simply can't get enough of those videos. I even fantasize about giving a man oral while his wife uses a strap-on with me and have them switch so he can finish in me or on me. However, my wife and I were very clear on expectations and how our marriage would look before marrying. Our partnership and respect mean more to me than diving into that and exploring. We have great jobs that pay extremely well. Our home is getting close to being paid off, vehicles too. Our kids have wonderful friends and amazing schools. I, in my humble opinion, value that more than exploring something I may not even like. And then here, all in caps again, pick the mountain you want to die on. Don't be selfish. Lastly, anyone listening to this, I realize everyone's lives are different and that uniqueness is part of this human experience. You need to measure out the pros and cons when you approach your partner with this beautiful kink. Enjoy it if and when it happens and nurture it. Ruby, thank you again. You're simply beautiful, engaging, and the perfect advocate for pegging. I will listen in until the day you decide to hang up the mic. P.S. Expect some of my stories soon. I've only had one negative pegging experience, but the rest are pre-cum in your pants, panties, or whatever you wear or don't. Da-da-da. Big Moose is how it's signed. Oh, I love it. Wow, this is quite a presentation and quite an offering. I really appreciate the help that I get from all the different perspectives of the guys who say, okay, this is how I look at it, and this is what I have to offer. Because as I say so often, this contributes to the base of knowledge on one hand, but on the other hand, it just keeps over and over again, really reassuring. No shame. Talk about your kinks, talk with your partner. The whole shame thing can be so powerful that it can be overwhelming. So I love that it comes back over and over again in my podcasts through me and through people's contributions. Because whatever turns you on. There's no shame in that. And like this gentleman so well pointed out, you can fantasize about whatever you want. Why wouldn't you? Does it say anything about you? Yeah, it says that that turns you on. Does it say you're going to go out and do it? No, not at all. There are many, many things you can fantasize about that you never, ever want to experience in reality, or because you have measured out the pros and cons like this gentleman suggested, you've decided this is not worth it to explore this. But are you still going to fantasize about it? Oh, fuck yeah. Like he says, why wouldn't you? Yeah, so thank you so much for all of this. Last but not least, I always love hearing from the guys that society considers to be the manly men. It's sort of a weird, backwards thing. The reason I enjoy hearing from you is because I like breaking down the myth that these are not the men who enjoy this. But at the same time, it's sort of twisted and strange because that's sort of buying into it. The whole point is, no matter what kind of man you are, no matter what kind of prostate owner you are, perhaps you don't identify as a man, this is an amazing act to enjoy. And there's no reason in terms of society's taboos and all that other kind of stuff that you should pass it up. If it's something that interests you, if it's something that's your thing, that you fantasize about, that you crave, it absolutely can be a very personal, private, loving, awesome experience between you and your partner. The world doesn't have to know. There you go. Thank you so much for sending that in, and I'm going to be waiting on some of those stories. Yes, indeed. Looking forward to receiving them. And what do we have next? We have pegging celebration time. So first off, I'm so happy I found this site, and I want to say thank you. I spent a lot of time reviewing information here before approaching my partner. It paid off in a big way, and I would like to share. I've always enjoyed the feeling of having something in my ass as far back as college, and would periodically buy a toy and play around and then feel guilty and get rid of it. After getting out of a 10-year, sexually frustrating marriage, I started experimenting with prostate massages. I was turned on to this by a woman I met who was in an open relationship. I purchased my first Aneros, and things took off from there. I moved to a little bigger toy and vibrations. At some point, I told my current partner, fiancé, of 8 years, about how I enjoyed prostate massages, and would she mind if I brought out my toy? Of course not, she said. I'm getting turned on just typing this. Everything was great until about 6 months ago when I started researching pegging. I finally got up the nerve one evening to tell her, I am not gay, but I have been having fantasies about her fucking me with a strap on. Her response was not shock, but she said she didn't know if she could do that. I said okay, and let it lie while I continued to do research. About 4 weeks later, when we were out having drinks, she said that she was okay trying it. It was hard to contain my excitement. I ordered a harness and a beginner dildo the next day. That weekend, I was so excited, maybe a little too excited. After fulfilling her needs, she put the harness on and I laid back on the bed. She entered me and I lost my head. Watching her take me was so amazing, and I think she was surprised how much she enjoyed the control. We finished with me riding her, like she normally rides me, cowboy style. Afterwards, we talked. She was a little concerned I would want to do that every time, as she also liked our regular lovemaking. I agreed that it didn't have to be every time. I also said it was great, but I wanted to feel a little fuller and her to go a little deeper. So next, I bought a dual strap-on that would fit in her. A long 2 weeks later, which was last weekend, we tried it, and oh my God, it was so perfect and so erotic. I find myself fantasizing about the next time. We're just beginning this new adventure of our sexual relationship, and I think it's only going to bring us closer together as a couple. So once again, thank you for providing such a great service. This is one reader who will be coming back for more, pun intended. And he spelled coming, C-U-M-M-I-N-G, which is awesome. This was in the forums, and the name of the topic that this person wrote was, "Let me tell you a story." This is an awesome story. Congratulations to you. It's funny because your phrasing said, everything was great until about 6 months ago when I started researching pegging. That phrasing implies that it went south, but it totally didn't. So I kept expecting there to be some disaster as I read this. And there's no disaster at all. Oh my goodness. Great story. And I love that you let it lie and gave her time to process it. This is like the last guy that I just read his letter. It's like, don't expect an immediate response. Put it out there and then don't take the silence as a rejection. Just wait, because sometimes they're processing it. Sometimes they have to think about it. There's a lot to think about with that. And so sometimes it just takes time. So good for you for giving her that time. And the part about you enjoyed it so much that she was concerned. Yes, I've heard this before. I also have heard that it does feel so amazing, and it's such an incredibly new experience that it is easy to get sort of obsessed with it at first and not be as measured as you clearly were and said, no, it doesn't have to be every time, absolutely, and just to kind of want it every single time and sort of lose sight of, well, wait a minute, you know, what about my partner's point of view? What do they want? And being selfish, like the guy in the last email said. So, good for you for doing that. And a small warning while we're on that topic to the guys who have just discovered this and think it's just out of this world and amazing and all of those lovely adjectives that come floating off your tongue when you think about it. And my first two emails, and you guys both go, man, I'm getting hard while I'm typing this. I thought that was awesome. But, okay, the little warning for the guys who were so into this, be measured about it. What do I mean by that? I mean that make sure that she gets what she wants, and don't make it a thing of every single time you go to bed, she's hoping you won't ask for it, and you're hoping you get to do it. And if that is how it feels, or that is even a possibility that that might be what's going on with you, or it could be leaning into that territory, then please schedule it. Doesn't sound sexy, doesn't sound romantic, but it fucking works, man. That way, when you have regular sex, she'll be going, awesome, we get to fuck tonight, and I don't have to worry that he's going to ask for it. So when she does do it for you, she'll know that that is the night that you two scheduled. You have something to look forward to. You can depend on that night being a pegging night. You can be all cleaned out for her and all ready and all that kind of stuff. And that way it works great in both directions because there's not the push-pull that happens. So yeah, schedule that shit. Oh my goodness. Thanks again for the letter and congratulations to both of you. Okay, here's another letter. And this is a follow-up on the guy who talked about using a sleeve to put over a double dildo because he needed more girth. Okay, Hi again, Ruby. Just wanted to follow up on my Bad Dragon sleeve proposal. I waited long and hard with impatient patience for the right sleeve to come up on clearance at Bad Dragon and was finally rewarded with the David model in large. Then I had to wait again for it to show up and yet again for an opportunity to use it. What's a guy to do? Well, due to the tight scheduling of parenthood, pegging was out of the question for the time being, but I did wrangle an odd window of personal time alone in the house to fit the sleeve up to the Fieldo Moore and give it a go. It's a good thing the Giver's bulb makes such a handy handle on the double. I'm not a furry or in any way affiliated with feelings of bestiality, but the David is supposed to be the penis of a werewolf, and all I have to say is woof. I am a bit out of practice with my larger toys, so the full feeling from this unit was pronounced and oh so good. The silicone is so soft and supple wrapped around the stiff Fieldo. It is like the dual density toys I love so much. I used the strap of the David that is supposed to go around the user's balls to secure the sleeve down and around the base of the Fieldo, nailing it in place by hooking it around a WeVibe Tango, protruding from the Vibe sleeve in the Fieldo, pictures attached. I can't be totally sure until it is put to the real test, but I'm fairly confident that it is going to work as planned. Regardless, I'm up for the task of giving it a go, and I'm sure my wife is going to have a fine time pinning me to the mattress. Happy pegging. And it's signed, Pegging is Electric. Oh my goodness, and the pictures you sent me are freaking awesome. That is a fascinating thing. You know, you guys who have listened to the podcast for a while know that I'm not really a fan of the Fieldo because of that rigidity. But putting a sleeve over it and then having it feel like a dual density toy is freaking awesome. The sleeves that Bad Dragon has are way cool. I'm going to put a link to that David one that you found and just a link to their sleeves in general. I can tell by the picture that it's going to work like a charm, and I can tell by the picture that if your double has a insertion for a Vibe and you use the WeVibe Tango, which may be critical in this situation, only because the WeVibe Tango Mini Vibe sticks out a ways. It's a longer Mini Vibe than the vast majority of Mini Vibes out there. This can be a problem if you're going to use it in a horizontal pocket of a harness and it goes in between the giver's legs, but when it sticks in a toy and hangs out a bit, although looking at it might look a little inelegant, at the same time, it's really handy for a lot of reasons. It makes it easy to pull out when you're done. It makes it easy to reach back there and push on it when you want it to stop vibrating. And here's one more plus, clearly. You can hook the loop that's supposed to go around the user's balls around that Vibe. When I looked at the pictures, yeah, there's pretty much no doubt in my mind that this is going to work like a charm. I have to say, I loved your, is it a euphemism or a metaphor? I always forget the difference between those two, about pinning you to the mattress. I absolutely love that. I'm going to use that in the future. Come with me. I have some plans for you. I'm going to pin you to my mattress. That's going to be so fun. Thank you for the update. This is like a whole new exciting world for all of you receivers out there who have partners who love those doubles and the stimulation that it provides, but you wanted more girth. More girth than the Fieldo Moore. More girth than the Share XL. And the Share XL has other issues with it. But the whole point is, now you can pretty much choose your girth. And Bad Dragon is going to be loving all the people I send to them. Woohoo! Okay, good news. Thank you for reporting back. And clearly I do want to hear back from you when you give it a go and she pins you to the mattress, sir. All right.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
Here's my next letter. I just started listening to your podcast. So far, episodes 102, 112, 124, 166, 210, 211, and 212. And it's inspired me to revisit what has become an ongoing issue in my marriage. My wife and I bought a strap-on a little over a year ago, a Fuse Tango, which sadly has gone unused thus far. She was enthusiastic about pegging me when we first discussed it. She said she wanted to hear me moan, but having the actual strap-on arrive in the mail made her feel intimidated. She's 17 years younger than me. We're 52 and 35, and knows that I have a long history of sexual experimentation. She knows that I've been pegged by other women, and more importantly, that I have extensive experience bottoming for male-to-female transsexuals. Despite my efforts to put her mind at ease, she can't seem to help but feel that she will be competing with my past experiences. I've given her the space to work through her self-consciousness, but the longer it goes on, she says, the bigger the whole thing becomes in her mind. Complicating matters is that despite my extensive experience, I'm still a little shy about asking for it, and as time passes, she seems less inclined to take the initiative. I think once she overcomes her shyness and gets a taste of being on top, she will be fine. And I'm pretty sure, based on how she's talked about it, that she will love everything about pegging. I also think becoming a proficient pegger will be a boost to her self-confidence in and out of the bedroom. She just needs to get over the hump of that first experience. So my question for you, perhaps a good question for your podcast, what can I do to help her work up the courage to strap it on and take that first plunge? Also, what can we do to take the pressure off during that first experience? Your advice is very much appreciated. Signed, Boomer Petway. So, Boomer, here is my first suggestion. Normally, anxieties about doing something, about an upcoming experience, can be eased by education. So the very first thing I would recommend is that she take my webinar. It's going to give her a lot of information about how things work, about some of the emotional baggage behind pegging on both parts of the pegging equation, tips and techniques for when it happens, good positions for beginners. All kinds of different information is what she's going to get. So this is going to give her a solid base to draw from when she starts. The next thing I would do is, when she's ready, start your anal play with her giving and your receiving like you've never done it before. In other words, let her play with your ass, with her fingers, let her feel inside there. You guys stay in communication while you're doing that. Help her find your prostate. And maybe even, like, jerk yourself off and get it really hard so she can feel how your prostate grows hard when it swells with prostatic fluid, so that she knows where it is and she can find it. I find it absolutely a fucking turn-on and amazing to have my finger on the prostate of a guy who comes. So that's an experience you might offer her as well. More about a sharing way. When you have your encounters with her during this, try and adopt the tone of a helpful suggestion as opposed to a teacher. Since her lack of self-confidence comes somewhat from your tons of experience, and I know that can be really intimidating to some people, I have felt that way sometimes too, to be just a friendly suggestion type of person while you're doing things. And you know, not just friendly suggestion in terms of correcting her. You can be sort of like the excited little kid who wants to share something. Let me show you what happens when you do this to me. Because it's all about you and her. Never, never start talking about something you did with someone else. Leave that out of the picture entirely. Make it all about well, I know that this feels good, so let me show you what happens when you do this certain thing to me this certain way. And try presenting it to her with this level of glee and excitement and fun. Another thing that might help the situation is if she has dominant leanings, to offer to her that you can get like tied up and gagged and blindfolded and something like that, because maybe she wants to experience it without you saying anything at all. Maybe that would help her self-confidence. Maybe you could even be wearing a headset with music so you're kind of sensory deprived a little bit. That way, she can be fumbling around with that harness for as fucking long as she wants, and you don't know what the hell's going on. All of these are suggestions that you might want to run by her and see which one feels right to her. Because this does seem like an impasse that is absolutely something you two can work through. It just needs to be kind of done the right way. And I think you're exactly right that once you get over the hump, she's going to take it and run with it. But those are the suggestions I have so far. Oh, and the last one would be you might want to get a different toy, because I've said a fair amount of times on the podcast that the double is not a real good one to start with. In the beginning, it's important for the giver just to learn how to fuck, and that does not come naturally to a lot of givers. It can be a very steep learning curve. So it's important to have a toy that's a little bit easier to manage. I'm thinking that maybe one of the few singles would be good. If she enjoys clitoral stimulation, that could be an option while she's using it. So that is something to consider as well, is to get her a flare-based single that she can use to sort of figure out the ropes, if you will. And if she takes the webinar, she'll have an assortment of different positions to choose from that would make it easier for her as a beginner, because in the beginning, those positions are important to know. They really, really are. It helps because it's so difficult when you're just trying to do something, you're trying to fuck somebody, and your body is not cooperating because you don't have the strength, you don't have the endurance, and it's nice to know which positions you can default to that'll take all of that pressure off and let the action continue. That's an awesome thing. So yes, all of those suggestions I'm going to offer. I'm going to put a link to all of the positions I think are really good ones for beginners. And there's already a link to the webinar on my website, clearly. The next webinar, I was going to announce this at the end of the podcast, but the next webinar is actually September 22nd, Saturday at 12:30 California time. And if that time isn't convenient, my next one after that is October 1st, Monday at 6 p.m. California time. So that's kind of all a bunch of information for her, and also about how you can interact with her in ways that can help her lack of self-confidence around this. Now I'm going to be talking to you. You say you have a little shyness about asking for it. I totally get that, because it is something that still has taboo and shame connected to it. And also just to be able to say out loud that there is a sexual desire that you really have, that you would like your partner to do to you, that step right there, no matter what it is, no matter what that sexual desire is, asking for it directly puts you in a very vulnerable position. Because if she refuses you, that hurts, you know, that's hard. So yeah, that's probably why you're a little shy about asking for it. Know that it's all of the surrounding stuff and it's not about you. And take a deep breath. And if you can't say it out loud, perhaps you can write it down. Oh, and one more thing. It might be a really good idea for her to listen to podcast number 112. I know that she is down with it and she just kind of is sort of trying to get over this hump that you described. But the thing about podcast 112 is that it really gives listeners, especially the givers, a really good sense of how the receivers, how much it means to them to receive this kind of attention, how intimate it can be, how vulnerable it can be, how difficult it can be to ask for. And sort of I don't know, gives them a better idea of how important it can be. So that might be a really good thing for her too. I will put all of those things in the Linkorama for you. And please do let me know how it goes. Good luck to you, sir. I feel quite positive that you too can get over this and start enjoying some awesome pegging. Thanks for writing in. Okay. Hi, Ruby. Maybe you can help with my question. I live in New Jersey. I'm having a hard time trying to find someone, a female, that likes pegging. I was seeing if you know any sires in my area. Thanks. Sires is sort of an interesting word to use. Every once in a while when you guys send me stuff in, it's quite clear that you're dictating into your phone and not spell checking stuff. So sometimes I see a word and I go, is that really what that person meant? And maybe it sounds like another word. Nonetheless, I get what you're asking because this is a very common question, sir. So here is the deal. I do not run a pegging matchup service, first of all. It's not like I have a list of women interested in pegging from all over the world in different cities and states and countries. So that's number one. That is not a reality. Here is how to find women who are interested in pegging. You connect up with your local kink community, and that is most easily accomplished by going to fetlife.com, FETLIFE.com. It's free to register. You start going to community events like munches and socials. You meet people. You make friends. And it doesn't make any difference if you're into any of the BDSM stuff other than pegging. You can just be into pegging. And you get to know these people. They get to know you. You go to events. You volunteer. You help out. You become known as a good guy. Okay? And you let people know when you meet them and they start asking about who you are and what you like. Because this is common in kink communities, is to ask people, for example, the question, how do you identify? I personally, Ruby Ryder, identify as a sensual dominant sadist. Boom. So you can tell people when they ask you questions about things like this that your main interest is in pegging. And you can just say it as a matter of fact, as a descriptor of who you are and what you're interested in. Not in a creepy, so do you know any women who are interested in that type of way? And when you have been in this community for a while, you'll be surprised at how women will kind of come out of the woodwork, especially the ones who are interested in trying out pegging because they know here's a guy who's interested in receiving it. And that is how it usually happens. You will not find women by sending emails to people asking, do you know of any women? You will not find women by sending random emails to women on dating sites who have listed pegging in their interests. And you will not find women by messaging, by putting up ads in groups on FetLife or Craigslist or wherever, saying, hey, I'm looking for a woman to peg me. That is not the way you're going to find a partner. I'm going to put a link to the newbie information for men, which includes a heading that says looking for a woman to peg me, right? And there's about 6 or 7 articles under it from a variety of different viewpoints that will help you in your search for a pegging partner. So what I didn't start out with when I answered your question is to differentiate, and this is really important, to differentiate between, are you looking for a woman to have a relationship with who likes to do pegging, or are you looking for a woman just to experience pegging with? Because if you're looking for a woman to just experience pegging with, then go find a professional, because that is the best way to do it. If you don't want a relationship, engaging with a professional is a marvelous idea because professionals are interested in giving you exactly what you want. You don't have to go through all of the different scenarios of talking the woman into it, allaying her fears that you might be gay, getting the right equipment that you're happy with and she's happy with and is proper equipment. And also the way that you have been fantasizing about getting pegged may or may not be the way that she would like to peg you. However, if you engage with a professional, they are there to give you what you want. You don't have to worry about whether that harness is a little too tight or uncomfortable. You don't have to worry that they would rather be submissive than be dominant. You don't have to worry about any of those things. If you engage with a professional, make it very clear about what you're looking for, the chances that you're going to have a better experience are good. Now, If it's not that you're just looking for a woman to peg you and you are actually looking for a relationship with a woman who does pegging, your best bet is to just look for a woman where you usually look for women. And if the women that you have found in the past in the areas that you look for them or meet them have all ended up being really sexually conservative, you might want to expand your areas of where you search for women. Even online dating can be just fine. That's a great way to find people. But what you're trying to concentrate on here is find someone who is very open-minded about sexuality. And when you read through their profiles, which you absolutely should do instead of just looking at the picture and sending a message, you will be looking for clues that they are sex positive and sexually open women who are fine talking about sex, perhaps not in their profile, but you get the point. And when you get to that point, the last thing that you're going to do is to send them a message and say, hey, are you into pegging? What this does is it treats your prospective partner as a fetish delivery service. So please do not make that mistake. You are going to meet women like you usually do. You're not going to say anything about pegging until the second or third date. And then you're going to lay your kink cards out on the table, so to speak, and say, well, this is something I'm really interested in. And even before you have regular sex with them, you can put your kink card on the table and say, yeah, I'm a very sexual person, and one of the things that I truly love is the experiencing strap-on sex. And at that point in time, you will know whether this is the right person to go further in a relationship with, because they're either going to just get up and walk away and say, no, I could never do that, or they'll be interested, or they'll be at least accepting that this is something you're interested in and want to learn more information, perhaps. But you need to do this early in your encounters with your dates with different women, because you don't want to get too involved and have the sex and then have maybe some feels happen and then tell them. You want to put that card down soon before either of you are too invested, especially emotionally invested. And that way, if they walk away or they're not into it, that's perfect, because then you have just gained the knowledge that this person is not the right person for you. You are looking for someone who is open to experimenting sexually, specifically in the area of pegging. Please make it very clear when you lay your kink cards out on the table that you love to do all of the different regular sex things too, but that this is something that you have a particular fondness for once in a while, as opposed to, well, I'm into pegging and that's all I want to do. Do not lead them to believe that. So I think I've covered all my bases here, whether you're into it for just getting the pegging, in which case it's the pro thing. And I'm going to put a couple of links in the Linkorama for the podcast I did with the guy that I interviewed him, and he went to a pro. And also I wrote a piece about why going to a pro is perhaps a really good idea. That will be alongside the links for the newbies that have all of the articles about different ways to look at this. And it also has a couple of ideas from guys who have written in. One in particular who described how he kind of turns his vanilla girlfriends into peggers and how he does it. And it's intriguing to read the story. I can't say that it's flawless and will work every time, but it seems to be working for him. And then there's also one about a guy who put a personal on Craigslist. And unfortunately, although that is a great idea, Craigslist personals, as most of us know now, do not exist anymore. So there you have it. That's all the information I have to give you. Good luck in your search, sir. And thanks for the question. Okay, so upcoming, remember, the interview with Ashley Manta is coming up soon. And we're going to talk about the intersection of pot and pegging. And I'm going to pick her brain, her marvelous brain, about all the knowledge she has about cannabis and how people are interacting with it these days. And we're going to start our conversation. I'm going to be requesting this of Ashley, kind of like talking to people who know nothing about it, because she has so much knowledge in this area. And I'm excited to have her as an interview guest. The interview, if the stars align and two very busy people are able to get this interview done as scheduled, it should be posted up October 2nd. So the deadline for sending questions in is Sunday, September 23rd. Any questions you have about the intersection of pot and cannabis products with pegging or sexuality in general. So send those questions in if you have them, and the interview is going to be a blast. I can't wait for that. I already announced my upcoming webinar time, so I got that done. So I think we're done. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like doing that. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too dumb, too diligent, or too deniable. I'm reaching with those, but I'm going to stick with it. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so please don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.